Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today is the official first day of spring, the vernal equinox. We wanted to know more about the significance of an event like that, so I gave Dr. Richard Swanson from Augustana University a call last week, and I said, huh, what do you think? You want to come on and talk about this? And you said, sure, God bless you. So thank you for being here and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Because I just know that there's more than the science to this, because people have looked up and wondered about this for a long time. So where do you want to begin?
Well, people have indeed looked up and wondered for a long time, but people have also looked up and oriented themselves for a long time. And that's probably the most important thing.
Okay.
The word religion, no one's quite sure what it means, and that the more you study it, the more that seems true. But some people say that the word comes from the stem lig, which means to tie yourself. And so religion would imply that you are somehow tying yourself back to something. And one of the things that religions tie themselves back to is the cycle of the world, the cycle of the year, the cycle of the skies. My friend and colleague David O'Hara notes with great care that in the ancient world, people were at all times exquisitely aware of the cycle of the moon, of the cycle of the stars. They knew what stars were above the horizon and when, to an extent that most of us do not now know. Hmm. But that effort to be aware of the skies was an effort to understand how they fit into the rhythm of the universe. And knowing when the vernal equinox, for instance, occurred is part of fitting into the rhythm of the universe.
And I remember having David O'Hara on this show before, and he talked about being out, you know, where there's no light pollution and watching the Milky Way turn. Yeah. And I thought, the Milky Way turns? And for this moment, I had to think about it because it had been such a long time since I had done something like that. So we're not as connected to it as we used to be naturally.
There are a great many things connected to it. One of the things everyone listening is aware of, when you sat, I'm guessing that people sat in their houses yesterday and noticed that the sun was coming in at a steeper angle than it had been before. I'm guessing people walked outside yesterday and noticed the ground squished under their feet. It wasn't frozen hard like iron like it is in the winter. All of those things happen because of the vernal equinox. The year is changing. The sun is higher. The sun is warmer. Mm. And that means that life is coming back. In the ancient world, that meant that they would no longer have to live on whatever food they'd managed to store since the last growing season. Because in the Northern Hemisphere, especially in Europe, where most of the roots of the things that I know about are, nothing grows in January. Nothing grows in February. But when the equinox comes, it means that soon, sometimes very soon, you can plant food that will grow and you can eat fresh food again. That's very important. But even now, the gardening catalogs come.
Right.
And that means that we are actually making real plans for what we'll be growing.
Yeah.
The bushes are budding. Our rhubarb is not yet showing itself, but some crocuses are.
Yeah, my daughter turned 16 today.
Oh.
On the first day of spring, she was born. And I've always thought that that was particularly special.
Yes.
To sort of have a birthday at this time of year and celebrate.
Yes.
You know, that growing and the sun shining a little bit brighter. She just keeps getting taller.
Yes. Yes. And that's the sort of thing that ancient people would have noticed, because a birth this time of year is significant. Because ancient celebrations, even contemporary celebrations, pagan celebrations, are rooted in a recognition of the return of life.
Mm.
And not just people that are actively pagan, but every farmer who's listening knows that very soon is planting time.
Yeah.
And very soon the fields that are right now just littered with the trash from last year's growth will be, they'll be planted again, and the corn will be up, and the world will change.
Yeah.
But The thing that's interesting is that while the celebrations, religious celebrations that pay a special attention to the vernal equinox are generally identified as pagan celebrations, the monotheisms also are very aware of the vernal equinox.
Really?
For Christians, for instance, Easter occurs on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. That's exactly when Easter in the West has always has been determined to occur. But that means that we determine what is for Christians an absolutely essential commemoration of a historical event. And we think of history as linear, progressing in a straight line. We identify the time we celebrate that according to a cyclical calendar that's tied to lunar months and tied to the equinox, which are, in fact, thoroughly, we share all of that with the pagan world in the calculation of time. Same thing with the Jewish community. Passover occurs generally, what occurs on the 15th of Nisan, but that is generally the, it takes place during the first full moon after the vernal equinox.
Really?
It's the same sort of old calculation. And all of them are celebrations of life and freedom.
So why is that? Just because it's a holdover from that time? It's so deeply connected to that time? Or is it a way to bring in others into the fold of, you know, spreading Christianity, for example?
The answer is probably all of the above. And you can read commentators who are very concerned to make it all about Christians finding ways to spread the gospel. But I think it's more basic than that. I think people of all sorts and from all backgrounds have recognized that, first of all, we need a celebration of the return of life. We just plain do. And we need that because everyone experiences the reign of death is far more commonly than we would like to. And I think that while some of the dating of Easter, Christmas more than Easter, but some of the datings are aimed at competing with pagan festivals, I think it's far more the case that they simply recognize that that was the right time to celebrate the same thing. In our terms and in theirs, we're doing the same thing, at least at some level.
So in the Christian liturgical calendar, we're in the season of Lent, correct?
Yes.
Tell us what that is exactly and how Christians tend to honor it.
Well, it is a number of things. The word tells us that it is, in fact, a celebration of springtime because it is a celebration of the approach of spring. It starts with Ash Wednesday. It started back in February, back in early March, depending on the year. But it is, on the one hand, a season that bridges from deep winter into early spring. But it is, for Christians, also a time of careful reflection on all of the things in us that contribute to the reign of death in the world. Mm-hmm. It's a time when Christians are directed to reflect on those things and to knock it off in preparation for the celebration of resurrection. Which is, for Christians, a feast that notes that even when death wins, the deity brings life even out of death. The thing that is interesting, though, as someone who studies that, even the name for that central festival, Easter, is a name that we share with pagans. Because the spring festival for pagans is sometimes pronounced Ostara, it's sometimes Ostra, but it is Easter. Just it's the same set of phonemes that identifies the return of life. You see that also in the other central Christian festival, Christmas. My mother was the daughter of Swedish immigrants. She never celebrated Christmas as a child. She celebrated Yule.
Oh.
And Yule is the name for the pagan celebration of the solstice.
Oh, interesting.
They used the same words even as they told their central stories over the same celebrations. Mm. So Christmas was timed to coincide with the shortest day ever since the solstice. The days have been getting longer, and you can feel it eventually. And if you watch the day, the sun sets just a little later, about 1 minute later every day since the solstice. And now we have days and nights that are equal, and the angle of the sun is so much higher, and every day you can feel more heat and more life.
Right. If you're just joining us, my guest, Dr. Richard Swanson from the Augustana University Religion Department, we're talking about the vernal equinox, happy first day of spring. We're talking about Lent and the Christian holiday. Just a couple more minutes and we'll get you out your door to your class. And I'm wondering, as Christians sort of do that recollection, what happens when you fail throughout the Lenten process? You set a goal for yourself, of contemplation and of action, and then immediately life intervenes. How do we handle that as Christians?
That's one of the most important things to think about. There is loose in Christianity, which because I'm a Christian and that's my background, because I'm a Christian pastor even, that's where I have responsibilities. There is loose in Christianity a stream of perfectionism that's quite frightening. There is something loose. I'm sure it's loose in other religions too, but I'm a Christian. I'll talk to my own tribe. There is something loose in our faith that makes failure frightening. The rhythm of Lent and Easter is intended, as I read it, to counteract that, because one of the central truths, one of the things that anyone who's paid attention knows, is failure is normal, and doing harm is normal. It doesn't mean that it is without problem, but it is normal. We all do. The rhythm of Lent is a time, Lent provides for Christians a time of reflection on the failures that are normal to us, and it provides us an occasion to reflect and change. Easter says that even out of our failures, life erupts. And that is perhaps the most important message of all. Failure is not the final word. And Jews understand the same structure. Muslims understand the same structure. I would imagine almost everyone does. But Christians understand it to be tied to the career of Jesus. And for us, that's the central reflection. Mm-hmm. So even our worst failures, even our failures that result in the death of Jesus, as we celebrate and remember the story, even those erupt in life.
We'll leave it there, because that's the perfect place to end and let people do some contemplation on that. Richard Swanson, thank you so much. I hope you come back. I'm just going to randomly call you with things that I want to know.
And then thank you very
see
much.
If you'll show up.
This is always fun. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks so much.